Hello, welcome back to Coach Enya Blow the Bear podcast. So, second week in a row now back with the podcast. Hopefully things can stay that way. I like to be consistent with this. I'm actually, do you know what? Speaking of consistency, my calorie deficit. That's one thing that I always manage to be very consistent with in my life. It's whenever I'm in a calorie deficit, like I always love ticking the boxes and seeing the payoff at the end. But there's one thing that I'm not consistent with, and that's like work life. I find it very hard to be consistent with that. You know, I'll make a plan and then it just ends up falling apart and I just end up doing bits and bobs. And sometimes like the most beige task can just seem like a mountain to me. And that's because I have ADHD, and I was assessed for last year, this time last year, and you know, it was confirmed that I had it. Now obviously that explains why I feel like things can be like, you know, little small tasks can be such a challenge to me when they wouldn't phase like the normal person, like, you know, neurodivergent or neurospicy. That's another term I heard of on TikTok. That's what the likes of myself and other people who might not be wired like normal people have, wired like normal people are, I should say. But speaking of ADHD, I'm actually going to get blood tests done this week. On Wednesday. Now, there's nothing wrong with me, but I'm considering going on to ADHD medication. I had a consult with a psychiatrist. I went to ADHD Now. They're an Irish company. That's the company I went to get assessed for this. Now, they are private, so I did pay for it. And then you do have to pay. Then a year later, then I said, you know what? I've tried to do the whole holistic approach where you're not using meds and, you know, you're trying to like build calendars and schedules and all like that to make life easier for yourself. And, you know, I am someone who has to make lists for everything. That is one thing that I do consistently anyway. I make lists for everything and it just makes my day seem a little bit easier and less like chaotic when I have a list in the morning of things that I have to do. I have a little checklist. But anyway, besides from all that, I still found it very difficult to compartmentalize when it comes to work, when it comes to, you know, I have a list of 100 things to do, and I have like two businesses, two careers, and it's very hard to wear, you know, two different hats on the same day sometimes. So anyway, I had a consult with a psychiatrist and he was just like, okay, let's try put you on meds and see how you get on. So basically what they do is they trial you with a low dose, a low dosage, I think for 4 weeks. And then you have another meeting with them. You let them know how you're getting on and whether they need to up the dose or drop it down or keep the same dose, etc. But basically, in order for me to go on to meds, I have to go and get blood tests done. Just basically, you're getting a full medical. So just to see that you're in good health, that there's nothing that could conflict with the medication or cause any upset under the bonnet, etc. So while I am getting blood tests done, I'm going private to get it done. It's a clinic in Carlow. I actually seen my friend use it. I actually don't even know the name, but I'm sorry. Like, I'm so bad. Like, my short-term memory is so bad. I'll put it in the description after I finish recording this, so you'll know the name of it. But it's in Carlow. A Dublin girl runs it, actually. And not only do they do, like, the full medical and, like, give you back your bloods and tell you, like, you know, what your iron levels are like, your metabolism, etc., there's loads of other things that they can tell as well, like, you know, your hormone levels, what else, thyroid, metabolism, you know, check for diabetes, etc., all that stuff. So yeah, that'd be interesting to do, but I have to fast for 2 days anyway. I've not to do any heavy exercise 2 days before the blood test. So I'll just be sticking to walking for the 2 days before I go for the blood tests. And yeah, I have to fast, I think, 12 hours before I get the blood test. So yeah, basically just I'll probably cut off my food. I have to go at 11:30 on Wednesday morning, so I'll cut off my food then around like 6 or 7 in the evening, Tuesday evening. But anyway, how is my calorie deficit going? So I've just come to the end of my week two on this 14 week block. And these 2 weeks were always about just getting me back into the swing of things, getting me back into the groove, you know, getting high step count consistently, tracking my food consistently, getting back to the gym consistently, just ticking all those boxes. And without having the pressure of being in a deficit for the 7 days in a row, you know. So basically, I'm at maintenance for 5 days of the week, and those 5 days are the days that I train. And then I'm actually in a calorie deficit on my rest days, which is only 2 days a week for the last 2 weeks. So I've only been like in a deficit for 4 days over the last 2 weeks. But the aim of that is just so I'm not stressed trying to hit my calorie deficit 7 days in a row while trying to hit high step count, while trying to get back to the gym 5 days in a row, track my food, etc. Like trying to tick all these boxes. So basically, I'm trying to conquer my activity level for these first 2 weeks. And now I think going into the next week, my check-in is Wednesday, which is also today I go for my bloods. So my coach knows I'm going to get my bloods done. And he actually asked me, he's like, ask him, can they do X, Y, and Z? And we can actually see, you know, how your metabolism and stuff is. We've never got that checked for you before. And it'd be very interesting to see, etc. And then there's, I think, like a lipid, that's another thing. Like obviously when you do your bloods, like there's a number of things that you can check for. So I just sent this list onto your one, and yeah, I'll go back to my coach and he'd be like, oh, so you know, you've got really high this, you've got really low that, and that might actually help him coach me better. But anyway, excuse me. So yeah, so basically I reckon now my next check-in, which will be this coming Wednesday, my coach will put me excuse me, I was under the weather this week as well, I had a bit of a head cold. I reckon my coach will put me now into a full deficit for 7 days a week, because he's like, right now we've weaned you in, and you know, you seem to be in a good place now with everything, so let's, you know, just send this now for the next 12 weeks. But again, I'm currently doing 20 minutes of cardio 5 days a week, and that's after each gym session. So I'm going to the gym 5 days a week as well, striving for 11,000 steps each day, and maintenance calories on training day and deficit on rest day. So yeah, that's pretty much it. For the moment, nothing too exciting. So the scale hasn't changed much, obviously, because I'm only in a deficit for 2 days. So it hasn't really dropped. Like I reckon now over the next 2 or 3 weeks, I'll start to see things drop when I go into a full deficit. But I've been still tracking my weight daily anyway. And I've been obviously documenting that on my Instagram stories if you've been following along. But I reckon now, like the first 2 weeks haven't been that exciting. But I reckon now over the next few weeks, you will start to see a downward trend. I also got my period this week. So, you know, there was a big spike in the scale because I'm going to be carrying more water, which is going to increase the scale weight, not increase body fat. So if you stand on the scale during the beginning of your period, it is going to spike. And, you know, I've been getting a lot of messages, you know, what's the benefit of weighing daily and stuff like that. And I just tell them, like, if I had to weigh myself once a week, not only would I not have the patience to weigh 7 days to see, oh, did this week work? You know, like I've been in a deficit for the whole of this week. And, you know, will I actually drop weight now when I stand on the scale this day next week? And then I do. And it's increased. Like I would pull my hair out. I'd be like, oh, what am I doing wrong? Like, I'm just going to give up. This is just a waste of time. What I'm doing isn't working. This is always the same. Poor me, pity me. When in reality, I'm missing 6 other opportunities that week to see, like, yeah, there might be fluctuations, but to spot a new low weigh-in. I actually put an example of that up in my story. So that's why I weigh daily. But to be honest, lads, I've done multiple calorie deficits at this stage. I've lost count over the last 3 years. And I don't give a flying fuck about the scale, honestly. Like, I know I'm documenting it daily. Like, that is for my coach's benefit. And it's obviously to see that things are moving in the right direction. But when my scale spikes, like, I don't pull my hair out. I know I've just said, like, I weigh myself daily, so it doesn't wreck my head compared to if I only did it once a week. But I do it just so I can see things are moving in the right direction, because I wouldn't have the patience to do it once a week. I know I've just explained why, but I don't lose my marbles, because I know, like, a lot of people only weigh once a week because they can't stand when they see the scale go up, then goes down, then goes back up again. But I understand why it fluctuates. So that's why I don't get stressed. Like, honestly, the scale does not faze me in the slightest. Like, if I was weighing myself daily for 5 weeks and something didn't budge, I'd be like, okay, something's not right here. We need to change it. But, you know, if I'm noticing fluctuations and, like, every week I notice I'm getting a weigh-in that's lower than last week's lowest weigh-in, I know things are moving in the right direction. Like, that's a general rule of thumb I look out for. I'm like, right, what was last week's lowest weigh-in? Say it was 65.2 and the following week I was 64.5. I'm like, right, okay, things are moving. But within that week, it could have went back up to 66. It could have gone back up to 65.7. You know, but the lowest weigh-in over the whole 7 weigh-ins of that week was 64.5. So grand, the following week, I'm going to try and beat that lowest weigh-in, 64.5. And I might get down to bang on 64 because we're aiming for a pound a week and there's 2.2 pounds in a kilo. So usually I'm going to stick around the same kilo range for about 2 to 3 weeks anyway, because there's 2.2 pounds and we're in for a pound a week. It can linger in the same kilo range for 3 weeks. Like, I got a message off a girl there. Like, I get a lot of DMs and sometimes people think that I'm this fortune teller or a psychic and I have this crystal ball. And, you know, I know some people are innocent enough when they send me these messages and they're not as educated as me when it comes to nutrition and exercise. And I do understand that. But she sent me a list of our weigh-ins, our daily weigh-ins for, and she didn't say how long she was in a deficit for now. She just sent me a list of like, say, 1 week. And she said, by looking at this, can you tell if my weight is going to shift? Because I feel like giving up. I've been doing everything and it's just not budging. So again, she didn't tell me how long she was in the deficit for. So again, I'm not a psychic. So I actually had to text her back. I'm like, look, I mean this in the nicest possible way. I can't tell if you're going to shift weight by just looking at a list of weigh-ins. Like, I'm not that good. Like, I'm not a psychic. And I said, you also said you don't want to, or you've been considering giving up, or you feel like giving up. And this goes out to anyone who's currently in a calorie deficit and they feel like giving up because the scale isn't cooperating with them, right? I want you to play the tape forward. What's the alternative? So you are getting better sleep now. You're eating a bit less. Your gut isn't making noise anymore. You have more energy. You know, you're getting stronger in the gym and you're still obsessing over this fucking scale and you're considering giving up. What's the alternative? Okay, because you want to go back to feeling like shit, being sedentary, you know, eating shit, feeling like shit. It's like you want to go back to that. You think that is better than what you're currently doing. Just because the scale won't budge, you are contemplating going back to that fucking lifestyle. Bear in mind, this is why you wanted to drop weight, because you were sick of feeling like shit and looking at yourself in the mirror and feeling like shit. So you think going back to that lifestyle is a better option than continuing what you're doing, even if the scale didn't change. Like, don't forget, like, yeah, we're getting into this lifestyle to drop body fat, but at the same time, like, you're improving so many biomarkers in your lifestyle, like your sleep, your energy, your digestion. And just because the scale is not changing, you want to give up. Like, things can't get any worse with the current lifestyle you're living by going to the gym, by increasing yourself, by eating better food. But you want to go back to, you know, that time when you are eating shit, nothing but pure sugar, binge drinking, sitting on the couch the minute you come home from work, not moving, shit sleep, you know, shit mood. That's the alternative. If you give up, that's what you want to go back to. Like, things can't get any worse with what you're doing now, but things can only get worse if that's what you go back to. So even if the scale isn't cooperating, do it for how it makes you fucking feel, okay? Like, let's just forget the scale didn't exist. Like, people don't walk around with, you know, a scale hanging around their neck being like, look what I weigh. And I know it feels like that sometimes. I do. And I don't feel comfortable in my own skin. Like, when I came back from a holiday, yeah, I had great memories. And I've never laughed as much in my life. But I did notice that I did gain a bit of body fat and I didn't feel comfortable in my own skin. And I noticed that the scale was starting to drift, it was starting to increase. And I was like, right, it's time to pull things back a bit. But nobody knows what I weigh. Like, if I wasn't a coach, nobody would know what I weigh. I know I'm documenting my weigh-ins and stuff like that, but nobody would know. Nobody, only I know. And I know it's an internal thing and it can make you very insecure. But I know even 2 weeks, my weight hasn't changed again because I'm basically maintaining my weight for the first 2 weeks. My weight hasn't changed, but I already feel so much better in my clothes. I already feel a bit more confident. I already feel like I have more energy. I already feel like I'm back into the swing of eating better food, and the scale still hasn't changed. Like, so do it. It's a lifestyle, remember. It's not a temporary fix. So if you're constantly obsessing over a scale number, like if you're 5 weeks into this and the scale hasn't changed, okay, maybe something is wrong. Maybe you're not eating the correct calories. Maybe you're overeating. Maybe you're not tracking certain foods. Maybe you're overestimating how much or underestimating how much you're eating. Maybe you're not tracking your food, you're not weighing your food, so you're just eyeballing portions. Like, let's go back to the drawing board here. But if you're only a week into this and you're complaining about the scale not fucking changing, like, you are in for a rude awakening, because this is a serious test of patience. And again, I've done multiple calorie deficits and I can tell you one thing, like, you just have to trust the process. You do, because what's the alternative? What's the plan B? What, go back to feeling like shit again, where things can only get worse? You might as well do what you're doing now, and eventually the scale has no choice but to follow. But honest to God, like, I do not freak out now when the scale doesn't change, when it doesn't drop, or if it increases because of my time of the month. Like, there's a small list of reasons why the scale changes, okay? Why it increases, why, like, overnight. And it's not body fat. None of the reasons are body fat if your scale increases overnight, okay? None of them. Absolutely none of them. And when you actually look at the scale number, let's say I was 65 bang on today and I stood on the scale tomorrow and I'm 66 kg. I look at this small list that I have and I'm like, okay, I've gone up by 2.2 pounds overnight. What the fuck? Okay, let's assess the last 24 hours. Did I do a heavy exercise session? Do my muscles feel really, really sore? Yes, okay, my muscles are inflamed. My body's holding on to water as a healing mechanism. That's why the scale is increased. Let's say it wasn't a heavy exercise session. Did I go on a long run? Yes, okay. Well, I ate a lot of carbs yesterday to help me fuel my run. Carbs cause me, especially more carbs than usual, cause me to retain more water. That's why the scale is increased. It's water, it's not fat gain. Let's say I didn't go on the run. Let's say it's 2 days before my menstrual cycle begins. Okay, menstrual cycle about to begin. That's why I'm holding on to water. What else? Ate my last meal later than usual yesterday, about 10 o'clock. I weighed myself at 6 in the morning. That food's still sitting in my stomach. Okay, that's why the scales increased, because of the weight of food sitting in my stomach. And there is probably another few reasons as well, but it's a small list, lads. So when you stand on the scale the following morning and suddenly, you know, you've had a week of steady weigh-ins, there was a low point at one stage, you're jumping for joy, this is fucking working, and next of all you stand on it the following morning and it's gone up by a kg and you start freaking out, reassess your last 24 hours, okay? Or even your menstrual cycle. Where are you in your menstrual cycle? There's always a very logical reason. And that's why I love weighing in daily, because you actually get to see the times where it does fluctuate, where it does spike. And there's always a valid reason. You're like, yeah, I went on a long run yesterday. That's exactly why it spiked. Or I had really, really poor sleep. Or I had a late meal last night. Or, yeah, I went over my calories a bit. But it's not fat gain. I'm just holding on to extra food in my stomach. That's all it is. But while we're speaking of overeating, let's just go adrift now from the scale, because I do get a lot of DMs about it. I actually was having a conversation with a friend over the last week, and he was picking me brain, and he's like, "Yeah, no, I'm gonna have to put on an awful lot of weight, and you're like, I want to lose weight. You know, have you got any tips?" And I was just asking him, like, you know, what's your diet like and stuff. He's like, oh, and yeah, like with me, like when I diet, like I go to the extremes. Like he was telling me, he's like, I live on like a chicken fillet and an apple a day for like 8 weeks. And he's like, and I'll drop like about, you know, 2 stone. But then I put it back on again within weeks. And I'm like, yeah, well, you're going from one extreme to the next. So, you know, your stomach's going to be like a bottomless pit when you actually go back to eating like a human being again. So it's a really, really bad rebound. You're going from one extreme to the other. You're going from 0 to 100, eating fucking breadcrumbs. And then, you know, as soon as you've dropped the weight, you go back to eating like a king then, you know. And he had a special occasion on where he had to wear a suit, and he was already carrying a good bit of weight. So he obviously dropped weight dramatically, but then again, whacked it back on. And he just said, you know, and in my relationship with food, like I'm one of these people, like, he works like in an office environment, and he's like, I'd be on a diet and I'd be trying to eat well, and someone bring in a pizza and I've had one slice, and I'm like, oh, here, fuck this, I've ruined my diet now, I might as well just send it now for the whole weekend. And I was like, no, I'm going to stop you right there, because that's exactly what's ruining your progress. I want you to think about this logically, okay? And for anyone listening as well, if you overeat on a, let's just say it's a weekend, and you think, oh, I fucked it now, like what's the point, I'll start again on Monday, what do you think is going to do more damage? Going over your calories and having an extra slice of pizza than you intended to have, or going over your calories for the entire weekend? What's going to do more damage? Because in the grand scheme of things, you're not perfect. You are going to have some days where you do go over your calories. It's human. We all do it. Stop chasing perfection. That's what I said to him. You need to embrace imperfection, because there will be days you won't eat your step count. There will be days you'll go over your calories, and there will be days that you're going to miss your gym session. But it's about the days that you do those things, that they're the days that count. Or the days where you stop yourself and think, yeah, I've had an extra slice of pizza today, but it's better than like throwing the towel in for the whole weekend and over consuming thousands and thousands of calories, because that's what ruined your progress. He's like, yeah, do you know what? You actually have a good point. So I even get DMs being like, hey, I'm in a calorie deficit. Am I allowed to do this? Should I be doing this? Is it okay to do this? And I'm like, you are a grown fucking adult who probably has kids, and you're asking me, are you allowed to do something? This is the thing that damages people or increases like this toxic relationship with diet culture, or increases it, a toxic relationship, the likelihood of a toxic relationship with food. Stop villainize in food. Like, am I allowed to eat this? Yes, you are allowed to eat this. You're in a calorie deficit. So track your food and stay in a calorie deficit. That's like whatever you eat within that calorie deficit, that's up to you. That's your choice. There's no such thing as good and bad foods. If you enjoy crisps and bread, eat fucking crisps and bread. As long as you stay in a calorie deficit and you're having enough protein with each meal, whatever works for you. That's the main thing, okay? Now, I do understand that some people, you know, they might not be very creative when it comes to food when they're in a calorie deficit, and they might want a meal plan, say, for example. Now, when you work with me one-on-one, like, and I'll ask you, like, what's your favorite foods? Okay, how can we make them more high protein? How can we make these meals more high protein? Like, if someone really likes spaghetti bolognese, okay, well, let's go for 5% fat mince instead of full fat mince, and, you know, have a bigger portion, so you're having more protein with that meal, but you can still have your spaghetti bolognese. When I was in a photo shoot, when I did my photo shoot prep, the amount of people used to say to me, what were you eating? And I was like, I was eating what I always eat. I was just in a calorie deficit. I was just tracking my food and I was just eating less portions, smaller portions. Yeah, but like, what were the foods that you were eating? And I'm like, what foods do you eat? And, you know, they're telling me that they have chicken curries or they have lasagna. Yeah, okay, I was eating those foods as well. I just wasn't having mountains. I just wasn't having mountains of it at dinner time. I was actually monitoring my portions. But what was I going to say there anyway? So yeah, like some people, they can't really kind of think of you know, what meals to have and stuff. So sometimes they just need a meal plan. And, you know, after a while, they're like, okay, and you know what? I'm starting to understand now what I can and what I can eat. I am allowed to obviously an array of foods, and it's obviously up to me. Don't really like some of the meals on your plan, and you, so I'm going to replace them with X, Y, and Z. That's no problem. But yeah, like, you just villainizing food, that's what enforces then that kind of thinking, or that correlation between, oh, I've eaten pizza, that's bad, I'm just going to throw the towel in now for the whole weekend. You can still eat pizza and be in a calorie deficit, okay? Like, and this is the kind of sense, this is where you kind of have to use your noggin as well, because when I was in a photo shoot prep, I didn't eat pizza, but by default, because pizza is very dense in calories. So I was like, fuck that. Am I spending 600 calories on two slices of pizza when I could have two meals for that? That's going to fill me for twice as long. Those are the type of things that you have to think about. It's not about food being bad. It's like, what's actually worth it here? Is it worth having two slices of pizza that's probably only going to fill me for like 40 minutes, where I could have two meals that's going to fill me for fucking 8 hours? Do you know what I mean? That's the type of thing you have to think about. It's nothing to do with bad food. It's like, what's actually going to help me stick to my goal and keep my hunger low today? Like, I actually put up a picture on my story today. I seen this Cadbury bar in Circle K, but it was a Biscoff Cadbury bar, and it was like a sheer size one. And I was like, oh my God, I just love Biscoff. But I know if I bring that home to my house, I can't just have six squares of it. And like, that was one portion. It says it on the front of the pack. One portion, six squares, 146 calories, which is actually pretty decent. But there's probably about five portions in that bar, and I can't just have six squares and put it back down. I'd have to eat the whole fucking thing, because I know myself. Now, am I allowed to eat the whole bar? Yes, I'm a human being. We live in a country where, for the most part, we have free will. I could eat the whole bar if I wanted to. Like, I'm not going to listen to anyone tell me I can or can't do anything. I'm over 18 years of age. I can do what I want. I'm a grown adult. And so are the majority of the women who text me saying, am I allowed to do X, Y, and Z? But the reason I don't bring that home with me is because I can't just have six squares. I'd have to eat the whole thing. So I don't tell myself, oh no, I'm not allowed to have that. I say to myself, is this worth having? Is this going to align with my goal of fat loss? Yes, I can have six squares, but I'm not normal, because I can't just have six squares of this chocolate. I could fit it into my calories if I wanted to, but if I bring that bar home, I'm going to eat the whole fucking thing. And it's going to be 500 calories or 600 calories worth of chocolate in my system. And I'm going to be hungry again after 40 minutes, when that was the equivalent of two meals that would have filled me for 8 hours. So that's the kind of thinking power I have behind that. So what I'm trying to say is, you can eat what you want in a calorie deficit, okay? It's all about, if you want to drop body fat, it's all about calories in. It's all about staying in a calorie deficit, okay? Like, that is the main thing. But if you want to drop body fat and feel good internally, then the quality of your food needs to matter as well, okay? So I'm going to put it to you like this, and I mentioned it in our podcast before. Let's just say my calorie deficit was 1500 calories. This is the science of it. I could literally eat 1500 calories of Cadbury Biscoff chocolate every day for 8 weeks and still drop body fat. Okay. Because I'm eating less than my body needs to maintain my weight. Okay. That's the science of it. Am I going to feel like shit? Yes. Would I be able to sustain that for 8 weeks? Absolutely not, because I'd be starving. Okay. I'd be absolutely starving. Like, I think one of those large bars was like 500, 600 calories. So that's like, what, three a day? Like, that wouldn't fill a gap in me tooth. You know, like, how long would you be able to sustain that? You'd be constantly, like, starving. Like, there's no protein in those chocolate bars. They're going to keep you full. You'd probably last about a week on that. And you'd feel crap as well. Like, and yeah, you wouldn't feel great. Like, it's like artificial energy. Like, that's why... By default, you actually nearly end up eating less chocolate and less crap when you're in a calorie deficit. I know it's that. I'll always have a little bit of the fun foods in moderation. But by default, you're kind of saying to yourself, do you know what? This meal here, this spaghetti bolognese with low-fat mince and stuff, this takes up about 300 or 400 calories. And then, you know, you're having your protein oats for breakfast, probably another 400 calories. Then your dinner is probably a baked potato with chili, mince, you know, probably another 400 calories. And then you probably have 300 calories left in for your cappuccino and your protein bar. Like, that's the type of way that you have to think. You're like, I want most of my calories going towards meals because that's what's going to keep me full. Whereas if I spend a lot of calories on shy, that's not going to keep me full. And I'm going to feel very hungry then in the evenings. So I try to aim to have 30 to 40 grams of protein per meal, because that's going to keep me full all day. And you're kind of just thinking, right, you're trying to get your bang for your buck here. What value is in this Cadbury's Biscoff bar? There's not much value. Yeah, it's going to make me feel warm and fuzzy for a few minutes, but then after a while, I'm going to feel hungry again. And then we're back to square one thinking, fuck, I'm going to have to go with my calories today because I'm absolutely starving. And I wasted a bulk of my calories on this fucking chocolate bar today and it didn't fill a gap in me too. That's the type of shit you have to think about. But yeah, moral of the story is, calories in, calorie deficit, it matters about the calories. It matters about staying in a calorie deficit. Okay, so calories in versus calories out. Calories in, the food you eat. Calories out is your exercise. And if you want to focus on feeling better and being able to sustain a calorie deficit, then the quality of those calories matters. I also got another DM as well, just while we're on this subject and before I finish up. I got another DM as well. Because I tend to stick to the same meals all the time. And not because they're like these magic fat-burning meals or, you know, they accelerate fat loss, but they're meals I like and they're meals I enjoy, that Enya enjoys. Like, you know, Mary down the road probably would hate the foods that I eat and she wouldn't be able to sustain that. But I can sustain it because they're foods that I like. They're high in protein. They're tasty. I like spicy food. I don't like hanging around a cooker for longer than 10 minutes. And they're quick and easy to make. So anytime I'm in a deficit, or do you know what? Even when I'm not in a deficit, these meals, they're quick and easy to make. I just eat them and yeah, I'm just happy that way. But what I'm saying is, someone DM'd me and they were like, is it okay to eat the same meals all the time? And sometimes I have to remind myself, okay, like, not everyone is as educated as you and you when it comes to nutrition and exercise. And sometimes you have to remind yourself of that, like, okay, like, this person is not in the know and you are. Be kind. So sometimes I try to throw the same question back at them and I'm like, I'm genuinely curious, why do you think it wouldn't be okay to have the same meals all the time? Like, I'm asking you, the listener now, why do you think it wouldn't be okay to have those meals? And when people actually think about it, they don't have an answer. They don't have a logical answer, because it's just years of reading magazines, misinformation, toxic diet culture. And she came back to me and she goes, oh, I just remember reading somewhere that your body will eventually adapt to the same food and blah, blah, blah. And that's when I just have to just confirm here when I'm on the podcast. Your body doesn't know you've changed a brand of pasta, okay? It doesn't know that you've changed from Roma pasta to Tesco fucking own brand, okay? Your body doesn't know that. Your body just knows it's eating carbohydrates. Pasta is a carbohydrate. Your body doesn't know it's eating Cadbury's chocolate versus Nestle. It just knows it's eating sugar, okay? Your body needs 3 macronutrients: protein, carbs and fats. And there's a gazillion foods in the fucking supermarket that will give your body those 3 macros, okay? And all your body cares about is getting carbs, protein, fats. Doesn't care about the brand, okay? It doesn't know. Your body's not that smart. Now, your brain might know you're eating Cadbury's chocolate, but your digestive system doesn't know you're eating Cadbury's chocolate. It just knows it's eating sugar and whatever other shit they throw into those chocolate bars, okay? When you're eating chicken, when you're eating mince, okay, your body just knows it's getting in protein, okay? We're eating protein. What do we do with protein? It's the building block to build muscle, okay? So your body doesn't give a shite. If you're eating, if I eat protein oats for breakfast, lunch and dinner, my body just knows it's taking in carb. Let's just say I put a bit of peanut butter in for fats, okay? Because the three macronutrients are fats, carbs and protein. My body doesn't give a shit. I'm eating protein oats three times a day. It just knows it's getting protein from the whey protein powder. It's getting carbs from the oats and it's getting fats from the peanut butter. That's all my body cares about. I don't give a shit what you put into me, Anya, once it's good quality and it's protein, carbs and fats, because that's what human beings were designed to ingest, okay, when they were out in the wild. Now, the thing is, like, obviously we live in a world now where, like, everything is super processed. So I try to minimize that as much as possible. But let's be honest, some of the processed food is nice and it does make you feel warm and fuzzy. And in small and in moderation, it's okay, like, to eat it on a daily basis. But just let's just circle back to, but is it worth eating tons of it on a daily basis while in a calorie deficit? No, because a lot of that food is very calorie dense. But again, your body doesn't give a shit what brand of food you go for. It doesn't give a shit what meals you're eating once it's getting carbs, protein and fats, okay? So if you want to be my guinea pig and eat protein oats 3 times a day for 8 weeks, you'll still drop body fat. Like, you will, okay? So whatever makes you happy, you stick to the foods you enjoy, the meals you enjoy. If you like fish, have fish as a protein source. If you like avocados, have avocados as a fat source, okay? Don't be listening to Tina in the fucking staff room who says, oh, avocados are bad for you. Oh, don't take this supplement because it makes you grow a third arm, okay? No, you are a grown adult and you need to be able to think for yourself, okay? Don't be listening to Tina who smokes 60 cigarettes a day and lives on a diet of custard creams. Don't be taking fucking diet information from her or calorie deficit information. Text a coach online or hire a coach or do the research yourself. YouTube is actually an amazing tool, by the way, and I educated myself tons before I actually went to do my PT course. It's a great tool to use. So if you're ever unsure of anything, type into YouTube, is it okay to eat the same meals every day while in a calorie deficit? And I guarantee you'll get a fucking shitload of videos telling you, yes, it is okay. Now, you're going to get the odd one who says, oh, well, you know, this research paper said this, what, you know, X, Y, and Z. Whatever you can sustain, whatever you can stick to, that is the diet for you, okay? Not copying off Mary down the road who cut bread out of her diet, who cut sugar out of her diet. But again, when Mary goes back to eating bread and sugar, she's going to put on the weight twice as much because she's eating like a human being again. So just to conclude, okay, whatever works for you, that's the diet you should be sticking to. You can eat the same meals every day if you'd like. And just to circle back to the story I was telling you about my friend, I actually sent him a program, an exercise program. And I told him, I said, look, try and include, because I actually forgot to mention this part. He said that, you know, when he was on that diet of like eating a chicken fillet and one apple a day, he said at the weekend, he would have this massive cheat day. And he's like, a cheat day is okay. I was like, get those two words out of your mouth. Wash that mouth. Rinse that mouth. I don't want to ever hear you use those two words again. Either cheat day or cheat fucking meal, right? Because again, that's reinforcing a toxic relationship with food. Oh, I've had something bad today. I can't eat that for the rest of the week now. So I'll wait till next Saturday and I'll have another cheat day. And, you know, I've mentioned it now in this podcast as well. Have the fun foods in moderation, lads, and you won't need to have a cheat day or a cheat meal, okay? And there's no such thing as a fucking cheat meal. If you enjoy chicken curry, have a homemade chicken curry. Like, yeah, the ones from the takeaways, they're going to be a bit higher in fat, which means they're going to be a bit higher in calories because they're throwing fucking oils and on their deep fat frying shit. Okay, that's why it's higher in calories. But when you're actually making your own curry at home, you know what's going into it. Okay, so cheat meals, cheat days, I don't believe in them. If you want to have chocolate, right? Track it, include it into your daily intake. I've never told myself I can't have a food if I really want something. Even when I was doing my fitness photo shoot prep, if I really wanted something, I built a quarter of an Easter egg into my calories during my fitness photo shoot prep because I wanted some chocolate. You know, people probably look at me when I had my six pack and I was like dick skin lean. And they're like, I bet she cut out chocolate. I bet she didn't eat bread. No, I had that type of food every day. Okay, I just had it in smaller doses. But yeah, I don't believe in cheat days or cheat meals. I think that encourages a toxic relationship with food. Like, if you have to restrict yourself so much that that on a Saturday you think, happy days, open the gut, open the hatch, I'm going to order a family-sized pizza from Domino's, I'm going to inhale the whole thing by myself, and then I'm going to swallow 6 cookies to wash it down. Like, if you are restricting yourself that much, that's the amount of food you have to eat on a Saturday to get a little hit of dopamine, and then 10 minutes later you feel like fucking shit, how long are you going to be able to sustain that? Because you won't be able to sustain it. So why not have a bit of the fun foods every day, so by the time it gets to the weekend, you don't feel that urge to overeat or to binge, okay? Now, I've often spoke about like drinking and binging and that correlation, but that's obviously in a previous podcast, or it's a conversation for another day. But yeah, I just think, and that's what I said to my friend. I said, look, have the fun foods in small doses every day, and you won't need to have a cheat meal or a cheat day. And it's okay to go out to a restaurant on a weekend when you're in a calorie deficit and order a meal. Like, that's okay to do. Like, yeah, maybe have a smaller breakfast, smaller lunch. Like, stop telling yourself, I'm not allowed to have a meal out. Like, should you be eating out 3 to 4 times a week if you're in a calorie deficit? No, because are you going to be able to be accurate with your tracking on those days? No. And then that's going to just slow down progress a little bit. Are you going to lose a pound that week? Probably not. You might only lose half a pound. Like, fat loss won't completely stop, but it'll just be a bit slower that week. But I always try to say, if you can make most of your food at home because you know what you're eating, then that's probably the better route to go down. But one meal out on the weekend isn't going to kill you. And you know, maybe when you're reading the menu, go for maybe seafood, something that's grilled, something that's steamed or seared, or something from a wok, like a wok dish. They're usually quite lower in calories because they're not deep fried, they're not covered in cooking oil, or they're not deep fat fried. And maybe skip the dessert and the starter. Like, that's like, I went out actually for a meal last weekend with my friend who asked me these questions, and I ordered something from the wok part of the menu. I got a chicken stir fry, and there was a lot of rice now, but I literally just had half the rice. And because I've done so many calorie deficits now, and you know, I've tracked my food and weighing my food, and I would eat pasta, rice and spuds a lot, and bagels as carb sources. And I knew by looking at that rice, I was like, that's probably double the portion that I usually have at home. I just knew by eyeball. And so I just ate half it, and it was a delicious meal. I didn't feel guilty. And I went home the next day. That was my dinner. It was about 7 in the evening. I had a small snack and I just got back to normal the next day. I didn't beat myself up. That's part of being human, being able to go out and eat a meal, you know, or to celebrate something. You just have to be smart about it when you're in a calorie deficit. It doesn't mean you're not allowed to do it. But I also know some people are experiencing calorie deficits for the first time. You know, they've probably spent years doing these mad fucking crash diets. And when they actually learn now that they can lose body fat in a sustainable way and still have fun foods in moderation, they're learning all these things for the first time. And they do ask questions. Can I do this? Can I do that? And I understand that, okay? But just understand, your body isn't that smart to be able to tell, like, you know, what brands of food you're eating. Like, there's a lot of misinformation out there. But I promise you, on this podcast, I will never steer you the wrong way. I'm all about sustainability. I'm all about using your noggin. I'm all about independence. And I'm all about just trying to myth bust and just get rid of toxic diet misinformation, whatever you bleed and call it. But yeah, the next time I do my podcast, I will be speaking about my blood tests, what I found out, because I think you get them 2 days, you get them back 2 days after you go for it, and I'll let you know how I get on. But I hope today's podcast has helped, and yeah, I will see you in the next one.